And I'm going to talk along the line about the schemes of the devil. You discover that what you are actually standing against is what? The schemes of the devil. The Bible says that we are putting on the full armor of God that we may be able to do what? Stand against the schemes of the devil. We are not standing against the schemes of the people that don't like us. We are not standing against the schemes of the society. But we are standing against whom? The schemes of the devil. All right? Now, that's very important because, you see, the devil has schemes. And I'm going to talk about it as we go on. The devil has schemes. And there is a purpose for his schemes. When you have a scheme, there is something you are trying to do. And let me say this again. I have found this to be the most important, one of the most important things I've observed in recent times. That the major thing the devil is interested in is in distracting you away from the purpose of God for your life. Do you understand my point? I have thought about it. I don't think he has anything more important than distracting you away. He wants to shift your focus. He wants you to lose focus. He doesn't want you to remember that God's plan, God had a plan before you were born. He doesn't want you to realize, okay, that there was a purpose and that not every good thing, listen to this, requires your participation. You hear what I said? The fact that something is good, don't ever forget this. It doesn't mean that that's what God wants you to do. Now, get what I'm saying? No, I'm not saying you should do bad things. But what I mean is that somebody can come and meet me now as an example and say, Pastor Banky, we are plotting a great crusade in Indonesia. Now, do you know it's a great thing? It's a very good thing. Do you know that? All right? The best I'll probably do for them is give them some money if I really believe in what they are saying. But as to get up and start scheming concerning the crusade in Indonesia, as right now, is absolutely out of the plan of God for my life as at this time. Christians easily get distracted. They are busy here and there. And this is a problem with good people. What distracts them are good things. Good people hardly get distracted with bad things. If I say this, maybe it will help you, you know, understand some things about life. Now, take charity work as an example. Nobody approaches me for charity work to get involved in something, a charity work, donation of money and all that, on the basis of Kingdom World Ministries, and I ever respond. Nobody. It's my rule. If you walk up to any of our co-workers and you say that, they'll just tell you simply, what is it? We're trying to raise money. There is this work that we are doing amongst the underprivileged, and it's Kingdom World Ministries. The answer is no instantly. Even if I have 10 million naira lying fallow, I won't give you a dime. Is charity work bad? No. On a personal note, my wife and I as a family, we get involved in a lot of it. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. On a personal note, as a family, we get involved in quite a lot of it. I see good things happening, I don't let it pass me by. That's on a personal note. But when it comes to Kingdom World Ministries, listen, I say, look, if I have 10 million naira, it just means that we go on more radio stations. Do you understand my point? We print more books, we print more tracts. Do you follow what I'm saying? It means we increase the number of times that we're on TV. That's what it means. It means I can organize more crusades. I'm not going to feed the poor anywhere. Is it bad? No. Oh, please, no. There was a time a woman came to Jesus and said, my daughter is gravely afflicted. And she looked at her and walked away. The woman wouldn't leave him alone. He didn't do anything. After a while, the disciples came and said, okay, you're not planning to help her. Please explain so that she can go away. He now called the woman and said, is it good to give the children's food to dogs? And she said, no. He said, you see, that's why I can't help you. Then she now said, however, you know, crumbs do fall from the table when the children are eating. That's all I've come to ask for. Your faith has made you whole. Now, please get my point. All the labor was on her side. When he would send out his disciples, you know what he told them? Go to only the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Don't even go to the villages of the Samaritans. Is it that he didn't like them? No. That's not the point. The point is that the time to reach them hadn't come. And during his own life, that was not what he was supposed to do. He was going to give the job to his disciples after he would leave. Now, I'm just going to explain something. You have to be careful that good people, what distracts them? It's not bad things. So. You know, you think the devil is not smart? He wants to invite Pastor Banky somewhere. It's where they are doing party. They are sharing booze. You understand? And women are walking half naked. He knows I won't go. That is, even if I get drunk first at home, I still won't go. I don't know whether you are following what I'm saying. He knows. It's, the devil knows that. You know, people think that Satan is very stupid. The guy is smart. He's not going to come and tempt you with ridiculous things. Ah, Pastor Banky, some babes are gathering. A man like you will really, really flow in that place. It's a waste of resources. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? He won't do that. One day, shortly after we launched our website and went on radio, and people were, the website was there for a while, but we went on radio and people were, you know, visiting the site and all of that. Whether the guy is a 419 man or not, I don't know. But somebody sent a feedback that he has friends in Europe and America who are interested in sponsoring the gospel. I guess he expected that we would respond and say, link us with them. I deleted the feedback. I didn't even want to know his name, his address, whatever it is. I said, he doesn't know who he's dealing with. I don't give a damn about your friends in Europe and America who want to sponsor the gospel. My job is not to be looking for euro and dollar to sponsor the gospel. My job is to preach, and the money for sponsoring the gospel will flow in. Peradventure, your friends and you and Europe and America want to follow Pastor Bank to sponsor the gospel, and come and drop offering the basket and go away. Don't talk. You cannot my preach. Listen, I read books sometimes. You see, like I read this man's book that Ola Yinka gave me. Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson described all the challenges in his book, all right? He had as a young believer. And I was reading, of course, as a more mature person than he was when he made those mistakes. But I was thinking to myself that, why did you bother going through all of this? How one woman almost made him, a crazy woman almost ran him crazy, deceiving him that she has a rich father who is relieving so much money and she wants to donate everything to the ministry. And I felt that, can somebody do that to Pastor Banky? I said, God has to specially be angry with me for you to get me on that level. But eventually you have a rich father who wants to leave you money and you want to give it to ministry. Drop a check there and go away. Why must we discuss it? I don't know whether you get my point. Look, I don't want to know how you administer your estate. It's money you want to give us. Bring the money, drop it there and go away. Because this woman, oh God, he did not know that this was a mental woman. The woman was mental. I'm trying to bring out a nation all of these things. The young man who wrote me the mail, whether a job man or whatever, I don't know, but I just deleted the mail. That you must be out of your mind. You know who you are dealing with. And that person, maybe it's another job man, I don't know. But these are things that, if a job man wants to job me, I don't know the trick he will use. I also found another trick on a personal level, not on ministry level. It's hard. It's hard on ministry level to defraud me. You have to physically steal money from our hands. I'm serious. You have to physically steal it. As we're using schemes, it's going to be hard. It's really going to be hard. The other guy wrote a mail. What did he write? That, there are programs they are organizing in India and all of that. I deleted it also. India is not my problem. I don't know whether you understand my point. Is India a bad country? No. Do they need the gospel? Most certainly, yes. Is it Pastor Banky's problem? No. Not Kingdom World Ministry's problem at all. If you're a personal friend and I know you're really working in India, I can personally give you money. Do you understand my point? Say, brother evangelist took the nation of India. God bless you. I heard you've been working. Here's some money towards the work you're doing. I don't know whether you are following what I'm saying. It's so important. Let me tell you, I want to distract you. You know, I'm talking about what? Schemes. Talking about what? Schemes. When Satan wants to distract you, there are different ways. Quick money is a very popular one these days. You leave the business, the call, the gift that God has planted in your heart. You want to quickly go and make money, that you will be back to do it better. Listen to me. That is deception. That's what children say. Maybe God has called a man to ministry, as an example. So Satan will look at, he will tell himself, I'm not going to go to ministry to go and beg. Now, I will first go, work for like 10 years, make money, establish myself, then return and start ministry. Anytime I hear it, I laugh. I used to say it too as a young child, on campus. But I have realized now that it's absolute, it's ignorance. Jesus said to his disciples, when I sent you out first time without money, without anything, did you lack anything? They said no. And when he was sending them out, what did they say? He said, take no pause or script. Don't greet any man. Like Bishop Oyedepo's interpretation, he said, don't lobby. Don't go around and explain that. He said, we are doing a great work. And God is looking forward to your supporting it. That don't go around lobbying. And they didn't do all of those things. They didn't take pause. They didn't take any spare resources. At the end of the day, they asked and said, did you lack anything? He said no. He gave them some basic rules. Say, when you get to the city where you are going, go there and simply stay in the house of the man who is comfortable enough to house you and who has a good heart. Get there and say, peace be upon this house. And whatever they set before you, eat it. Don't ask for anything extra. Whatever they set before you, eat it and go away. Now, I'm explaining something. Money is a very big distraction. You quickly do this one, you quickly make big money. Listen, like my wife was telling you earlier, we went for a program in Asaba. A friend of mine organized it. And one of the people that was honored there, all right, was Christy Bature, all right? Christy Bature said something, which it was an honor, you know. My friend gave her an award for her role in promoting Christian music, praise, and all of that. And they are praying that they will continue and do the work in a greater measure. Okay? Now, so, this is the point. She said that she never begged for the award, that she has never met the people. They don't know each other. Yet, they called her to give her an award, and that's not the first. And all I was thinking about is that, Pastor Banky, just continue teaching. Honor will come. Do you understand my point? No, really. Prosperity will come. Glory will come. Anything you will ever desire in life will come. Just continue feeding the people with the word of God. What am I saying? That is what Satan doesn't want you to do. He wants to distract you. Let me tell you the truth. If you're a preacher, hear this. Whether you have money or not, if you have the gospel, it will go far. I don't know what I heard I said. Whether you have money or not, if you have the word, it will go very far. Oswald Chambers is a good example I have. Now, you will not die at the age of 43, amen? All right, I don't plan to die at 43 also, all right? Now, but I want to bring out an issue. Oswald Chambers died at the age of 43. He wrote only one book called Christian Disciplines. Actually, it's a 3-volume book, all right? But 3 of them put together is not very big. It's typical Christian literature of about, if you print American style, what we use mostly in Nigeria, it comes about 450 pages. All right? It's not a fantastically big book. That's the only book he wrote. At the age of 43, he died. He died because he was in Egypt. He was teaching military people. And then he became sick with appendicitis. They operated him, and he died from complications of the surgery. And he wrote one book before he died, and that was it. He had one daughter, of course, one wife, and he died, and that was the end of it. By the time I heard of Oswald Chambers, he had more than 30 books in publication. I have the complete volume of Oswald Chambers, which is about twice the size of this Bible I have here, complete with a CD-ROM, a searchable CD-ROM. That is volumes and volumes by Oswald Chambers. He didn't have money, but what happened? He married a woman. You see, the gospel, God who put the word in his mouth, and who knew for whatever reason, I'm not discussing that this man would die at the age of 43. You know what God did? God gave him a wife. God put that wife there. Listen, the wife trained in shorthand. There was no dictaphone, all those recording devices. I said the man died during World War I. To take his messages down, his wife, who had trained in shorthand because she wanted to work for the British Prime Minister, all right? She was very good, one of the best, all right? That's what the daughter said. She wanted to work for the British Prime Minister, but she didn't get the job. She married Oswald Chambers. So every time Oswald Chambers would preach, she would be writing down. At the age of 43, he died. She had volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes that he had written while the husband was preaching. And then the daughter, all right? He had one child, a girl. The daughter grew up and married one man. Between her and the man, they published all the mother's writings, and it came into scores of books. Listen, if you have the gospel, money or no money, it will go far. Now, listen to me. I'm not saying that God will not use money. I'm just saying that you as a preacher, it's not your job. Please, I hope what I'm saying is clear to you. The problem with people is that, you know, they keep on giving excuses or why this person did well. You know why that man's gospel is so well preached and it's everywhere? It is the power of money. It's not true. It's not true. Believe me, it's not true. Yes, money was used, but it's not the power of money that got him there. Billy Graham, listen. How did Billy Graham become Billy Graham? He didn't spend money. He just used to preach. Then some people heard him and said, this man really, 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 really is a great man. He preaches. People like Pat Robertson called Rupert Murdoch, who controls the media in America, and said, you should listen to that man. After so much harassment, the man tuned in and listened to Billy Graham and told his editors, pump Graham. Now, those were the two words. What did he say? Pump Graham. Without Graham spending money, those guys followed him everywhere. Every time he sneezes, they write an article on his sneeze. You know what I mean? That's figuratively speaking. Every message he preached, every program he had, they wrote articles about him. Are you getting my point? And they made the man so famous. That was God working. He didn't beg anybody for it. He wasn't trying to be famous. He was just preaching. They were the ones that heard him preach and said, the whole world must hear this. And as God gave an opportunity, and many men have had similar opportunities. They blew it with scandals. Money, women, strange things. You were with me, wife. The other day we went to see one man who came to town. He was telling us stories of men that had worked with him. One of them went to an East African country. In a few months, he built a church that was numbering about 4,000 people in attendance. All the big people in town came to that church. The ministry did not last 2 years. At the end of 2 years, ministry was ended. Scandals. Let me tell you the truth, eh? Forget, you don't need, look, all the distractions Satan is trying to say to you, you don't need them. I have told myself, see, this, let me tell you the vision I have. This gospel that I'm preaching, from all over the world, the time will come that people will be watching it live. Anytime we gather like this, all over the world, they are hooking on the internet, VSAT, all kinds of things, television, watching it live. As God is my witness, I won't try and raise money for it. As God is my witness, I won't beg anybody. As God is my witness, you see what you have seen me do over the years is the same thing I will continue to do till that happens. You know, I'm talking about the schemes of the devil. Schemes of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's continue reading. I was explaining that one of the most important schemes that the devil has, all right? That's my own perception right now, is that he wants to distract people. He doesn't want them to focus on what they are doing. Ephesians chapter 6. So Paul said, finally, be strong in the Lord, put on the whole armor of God, all right, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, not the schemes of people. That what the person we are contending with, all right, is the devil, but not the way a lot of people think. He has schemes, and there are methods by which we are going to fight those schemes, all right? Now, let's just continue reading. I said we're going to take a few texts of the scriptures. The main one I want to read is the book of Job. He said, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, verse 12, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, verse 13, Ephesians chapter 6, therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day. That is, what you are doing is what? Resist. Please, notice that word. What you want to do is to resist something. Something is being thrown at you, and you have to resist that thing. And having done everything, to stand firm. I want to read beyond verse 14. We'll come back to it later. It says, stand firm, therefore, having gathered your loins with all of that, now began to give us a breakdown of the things that constitute the armor of God. I'm just bringing out the point that we are wrestling. Is that okay? All right, but not the way a lot of people think. Quickly open your Bibles again to the book of... Well, there are a number of them I'll read. Okay, let's just read 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Notice a few scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 3. Paul said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. What really happens is that the weapons, verse 4, of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are divinely powerful, or I like the way King James says it, they are mighty through God for the destruction of fortresses. He said that we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking captive, all right? We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your own obedience is complete. Please notice here, our weapons of warfare are used in a particular warfare. And that is for destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. I'm bringing that some issues here. Now, while the other scriptures will come to it later, all right? I wanted to read somewhere from 1 Timothy chapter 6, when Paul wrote to Timothy and said, fight the good fight of faith. And then later on in 2 Timothy, he told him that I have kept the faith. I have fought the fight, all right? I have kept the faith. Now, what I'm bringing out is that Christians have a fight to fight. Now, it's important. Paul said, I don't punch as one punching the air. Do you understand? It is important I hit a correct target so that I don't waste my energy. Christians have a warfare to fight, but we must understand what our warfare is. Pastor Bank, why are you talking about this? I'll tell you. Some time ago on radio, I talked about the power of death and the victory that is in Christ Jesus. I think it's the most unpopular message I ever preached. Because a lot of people called in, sent text messages, trying to tell Pastor Bank he doesn't know what he's saying in that area. But unfortunately for them, I'm not the one that answers those calls, all right? I don't read the messages. I just hear about it. But the fact is that a lot of people didn't like it. What did I say? I said, stop going around looking for the devil to cast out of people. It's not necessary. A lot of people go around looking for... One man actually said that some people can't live without this deliverance. I said, obviously, you're not delivering them. Because you have to continue delivering somebody who has not been delivered. Paul said it like that. Yes, if you have to be offering this sacrifice every year, it means it's not powerful enough to cleanse, to take away sins. Do you understand the point? So, I mean, all kinds of talk came on that. Because I said simply, the problem of the believer is not the devil and the enemies people are thinking of. That's what I said. And I stopped chasing the devil. Let me say it again. Anytime you have a trouble in life, before you even think about the devil, think about yourself. That what have I done to bring this one upon my head? Now, I'm not saying there is no devil. Did I say there is none? I didn't say so. I just said, listen to this. It's not as powerful as we think. The reason why we think he's so powerful is because all our movies, at least it's Nigeria, is made around witches, wizards, and people in the villages, dibias, babalawos, people that don't like you, who can run you crazy, all right? Who can make you poor, who can kill you when they like. So you fear the devil more than you actually fear God. If the devil says, don't go there, and God says, go there, you will look and say, God, that was merciful. This guy is powerful and wicked. Let me obey him. Me and you will talk after. No, I'm telling the truth. Do you know there are people? No, just say there are people. Most believers, if somebody does like this to them, they start praying. If you do like this to me, I think you want to be a musician. You want me? You want to start popping your finger here and do it from now to tomorrow. It's your problem. Like one man of God said that. One day he had one issue with the driver on the road. So the driver did like this to him, you know, the African style, the Nigerian style. So his children said, Daddy, look at what this man is doing. The man said to the children, you counted the fingers, there are five. That's all he's telling us, that he has five fingers. That doesn't have any significance more than that. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, what am I trying to do now? I want to give us in-depth teaching. Let's just look at this thing properly. Because you will get stability when you have understanding. Are you following my point? Yeah, when you see the way it works in the scriptures, then you will get good understanding and nobody will be able to deceive you and disturb you. You know, my best example, Jesus is Lord. Every time I tell this story, I like to talk about the Red Prince. There are people who indeed have familiar spirits, you know, they have spirits, demons that, it's not this one you start chasing around. They know, everybody knows. Do you follow my point? And they can get cast out. There was a young lady that was following Paul around. Had a spirit of divination. And that spirit was disturbing the girl, was disturbing Paul's ministry. These are men who have come to show us this way of the God. And Paul was grieved, turned and cast the devil out of her. The devil was not troubling the girl. He was troubling who? Oh, Paul. And was inside somebody else. I told you, it's distraction that Satan is offering people. Paul had to handle that distraction. At the end of the day, the girl couldn't, see visions anymore. You know, don't be carried away when somebody saw visions. As soon as I entered the place, the man just told me that, as I'm seeing right now, I perceive you are coming from Asaba. I saw you crossing the bridge at Onitsha. And as you were crossing, when he finishes, he said, so, now that you have told me my life history in the last 48 hours, where are we going? And I says that, God said you should bring a white cock for a sacrifice so that the people who are running after you won't catch you. Tell him, it is him they will catch. That you, nobody is catching you. Nobody who has sense is running after you. Listen, anybody can see the vision he wants. It's where he's going that matters to me. If what you are saying does not move me towards more obedience to the word of God, you are lying. If what you are saying does not confirm what God has said about me, you are lying. And look, listen, let nobody impress you with the fact that he can see vision. Look, there are small spirits around that they are peep. Like the Bible says, I'm mortal. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, there's what the Bible calls familiar spirit. Listen, if I follow you around and you can't see me, all right, I will know where you went and where you didn't go, and I can go and report. CIA has spirits like that. They still have it. Mossad has. Do you know what I'm saying? Even Nigeria SSS, they have people, spirits that follow people around, and they report. And those things exist in the realm of the spirit. So they're going to report to men who are working with them, and a man will appear and say, you sitting down there last week, you were chewing gum, and then you ate rice and beans. Okay, so what is the end of it? No, sometimes they give you things that are very, very dramatic. At the end of it, he wants to use it to lure you into bondage. Listen, it's when you don't know God that they catch you like that. I was telling the story about the prince. That's why I brought into all of that. There was a woman that had a familiar spirit. And one day he was praying for the woman. He was going to cast the devil out of that woman. And as soon as he started, suddenly the spirit gave the girl a vision, a young woman. And the woman said, I see you in a tree, in a red car, wrapped around the tree. That is, a man had an accident and died in a red car. And the prince said it very calmly. If you knew that man, very calm. He doesn't raise his voice. A properly trained Englishman. He said, that's not a problem. That is the plan of the devil. But I don't walk in the devil's plan. Not one word of prayer was said about it. He said, you foul spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And the spirit jumped and ran away. Are you getting my point? Don't let the devil give you direction. I like the way Archbishop said. He said, when you give it attention, that's what he does. He gives your life direction. Friend of mine, a colleague of mine, he said, when you're a sinner, that's what the devil does to you. When you're a sinner. This guy was a sinner, a confirmed one. I'm not trying to be holier than thou. He knew himself. He used to tell me that there's no God, and I used to tell him that you are lying. You tell me there's no God. Yeah, you think there's no God. I say, you are lying. You are lying. He said, what do I mean? I said, you like to sin. It's the love of sin and iniquity that makes you go around bragging that there's no God. Because if you acknowledge that God exists, then you have to stop your sin and iniquity. And one day he said, something happened some time ago. He dreamed that his cousin died. And then a friend came the following day and said, please follow me to One Wise Garment Church. I want to go and pick up something or something like that. As soon as he stepped in, the prophet in the church looked at him and said, you, I see death hanging around you. And except you fast and pray for 3 days, somebody will die in your family. He said to me, he calls me Blackie. He said, Blackie, I know go lie you, I fast. I said, you, and you're telling me there's no God. No, I've said it to you before. Listen, let me say it again. If you don't serve God, if you don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you will serve Satan. I'm not begging. Look, it's not threat. It's a confirmed fact. You will worship the devil. You will sacrifice goats and dogs and fowl. You will walk naked at 12 midnight to junctions to go and put down sacrifices for evil spirits. For your information, most of those things are eaten by crazy men on the streets. I'm telling you the truth. So the advice I give people is, please, serve the Lord Jesus Christ in the time of peace so that he will be with you in the time of adversity. Because whether you like it or not, you must serve something. Anybody shouting he's not serving, he doesn't believe in God, he's lying, he's serving something. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I told that story about the Red Prince, all right? So that you will understand that Satan has a plan. If you are working his plan, fine. Fine. Then you can be afraid, you can start praying. An average Christian, you tell him that kind of thing, they are the girl that used to receive vision, saw vision. Oh God, there was one woman my mother told me about. Said that woman, listen, was one of these white garmented people, you know what I mean? You know? That this woman, all her visions are always bad. And no matter what they did, all right, they always came to pass. If it says everybody fast and pray that she sees death around this house, somebody's going to die. Somebody's going to die. But when she was telling the story, she said, thank God, those were the days of darkness. Said, now, I don't go to such places. Because, you see, when you don't know truth, that's how we have to tell the truth. People need help. Life is hard. Are you getting my point? People need help. Life is hard. Look, that's a matter of fact. That's why Papa Lai will strive. Because people need help. And when they are serving a God, or they are hearing truth, the doctrine is taught to them that doesn't have power coming with it, they will go somewhere looking for help. That is why I'm not happy with the preaching of the gospel of Christ that does not explain the power that follows it. It is arrant madness for you to claim to be a Christian going to church and then at night you are still sneaking to certain places, even if they are prophets, to come and pray so as to protect you. You don't know Jack. I doubt whether you are really a believer. Believe me, a lot of people are more afraid of the devil than they are of God. If somebody here say, witch come near their door. Even all the running up and down from one prophet to the other is not out of faith, it's out of fear. What shall we do? Alas, my master, what are we going to do? Do you follow the point I'm making? I want to explain, please, brethren. Bible says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Are you getting my point? That new creature is a different and unique being. When so-called, I hate to use that word, I'm tired of using it, witches. It embarrasses me. When, okay, let me like this. When the so-called agents of darkness come, when they see those new creatures, they are afraid. There's a movie that I recommend. It sounds funny, but please, all of you go and watch. It's called Monsters Incorporated. Monsters. M-O-N-S-T-E-R. That is for company. There's a company called Monsters Incorporated. And this is a story about it. My children were watching the other day. I told my wife, I said, this is the truth about life. Those monsters, you know what they do? They come, it's like a cartoon, animated movie. They come and scare children because in the monster world, they need the scream of children. When the children scream, they will store the scream in a container and use it to power their cities. It's fiction, of course. Now, so at night, when children are sleeping, they will sneak into their rooms and scare the children while they have their container ready. As a child screams, they tap all the scream energy and use it to power their cities. Interesting movie. What is the gist about it? Those monsters, they look hideous. Some of them have 8 eyes, you know, different arms. They look, some may have 2 heads, all kinds of monsters. Really, really hideous and terrible looking. Except that all of them are afraid of children. Do you understand? It's a movie. But in the movie, the way it is, all of them are afraid of children. If a child wants to touch a terrible looking monster that's as tall as a building, once the child comes close, the monster will run and disappear. Say, the child almost killed me. But the children, when they see the monster, they are afraid. Do you understand what I'm saying? I told my wife, I said, look at it. This is just the way life is. These people are afraid. All right? Of people that are more afraid of them, who believe that the touch of a human child is a killer, that once a human child touches you, you are dead. But because we need their scream power, we have to try and scare them. I said, this is real scripture. The devil goes around roaring, you know, like a lion, seeking whom he might devour. But once you resist him steadfast in your faith, he flees. You know why he flees? Because he can't do jack. He can't do jack. This is a matter of fact. Only, listen, children of God are the ones that can sell themselves over to the devil. The devil can't do them anything. What I'm telling you is the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. What people don't understand is that they think that we're all the same. Do you understand? Because your grandfather and my grandfather came from the same village. Doesn't mean we're the same. Are you getting my point? Yes. He said there are those who are born of the Spirit. Do you understand my point? Yes, there are those who have become sons of God. There are those who have a new lineage. Who, when they want to describe their ancestry, they connect it by faith to Jesus Christ and to God the Father. Are you following what I'm saying? So maybe it's a matter of fact, maybe, there used to be witches all over the village chasing people around and making their lives miserable. The first child of God that stepped in, listen, what they will try to do is to scare the person. The fact is that they are more afraid of that fellow than the fellow is afraid of them. Because they know the truth, that this guy has more power, we can't touch him. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. Distraction, I told you, is a very terrible, because people I see it all the time. All the prayer, people are chasing the devil around. Listen, you know what he said? What you do, what is resist. Don't worry about him. If he brings an attack, push him back. I don't know whether you get my point. You know, once, you know, there are people that, let me say this again. You know, one of the reasons why I'm saying this is that because this is going to be on air and I want everybody outside there to hear it. If every time, listen to this, except you are not a Christian, and if you are not, as I'm speaking, you give your life to Christ. Now, I'm talking to those who are Christians. Listen. If you go to anybody and you say, please, I need help. My problem, my business is not doing well. My family is not doing well. And he finishes praying and calls himself a prophet. And says, the problem, I see, is your father has a second wife, isn't it? He said, yes. Is the mother of that second wife. That's your problem. If anybody tells you that, the person is a liar and is a false prophet. If anybody tells that, you have a neighbor. She does not go to church. She wears white on weekends. Now, some of those stupid familiar spirits, they know. It's the truth. They actually see your neighbor that doesn't go to church, that wears white on weekends. And it tells you, a Christian, that that is the person causing your problems. Hear me. That is a lying prophet. Doesn't know God. A friend of mine runs a company. He has a worker that misbehaves. You know the day he sacked the guy? Because he's a very patient man. He doesn't want to sack people. He is hoping you will change. He's like God. Hoping that you will come to repentance. But you know why that guy got sacked? He will talk to the man. The man's a driver. The man wouldn't change. Then one day, the driver, and another one of his workers had a quarrel. And while he was trying to solve the issue, he heard that the man said that Oga can't do me anything. That's why he misbehaves. That he has tied Oga. Actually, he had a pot of charms hidden somewhere in the office. The day my friend found out, he sacked him that day. That is, if he didn't have pot of charms, he didn't know that he was dealing with a man who was kind and long-suffering towards all men. The day my friend heard that, is that the issue? Whether you sin or not, let me sack you to prove to you I can sack you. The guy just sacked the guy on the spot. Sacked him on the spot. And indeed, the man actually had charm in the office. Sacked him and drove him away. Because as a matter of fact, the guy, he was dealing with a patient man. And they lied to him that we have him tied up. Do anything you like. He can't do anything. So one day, the guy found out, you have charm. All right, let me show you whose charm is stronger here. He fired the guy on the spot. Get out of here. Do you follow the point I'm making? Let me say it to you one more time. If you're a child of God and a diviner identifies a human being as a spiritual cause of your problems, the person is a liar. Quote me. He's a liar. He's a liar. He doesn't know God. He doesn't know anything. Because the Bible makes it clear, we are not wrestling against people, against flesh and blood. Are you getting what I'm saying? If he wants to identify the cause of your problem, let him identify a spirit. Say, there is a spirit in the spiritual realm. His name is called Constantine Toto. I don't know what that means, all right? I don't know. And I ask him, what is the operation of the spirit? Go and check it. I have read a lot of books. Authentic evil spirits. Authentic ones, they usually have names. Names that have to do with their operation. So you hear of lying spirit. A spirit of adultery. Are you getting my point? A spirit of infirmity. It's angels that have names like Gabriel, Michael. When you hear anybody give the name of a demon, no, they are lying. Evil spirits, their names, they exist. Their names are usually described by their function. You hear the person had a deaf and dumb spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. So if a man wants to describe it, you have business problem, he will tell you, you have a problem with the spirit of unaccountability. That is true. You can't have a problem, you are not accountable. Listen, most people around, you know their problem? Lying. You have a, you say, Papa, Papa, I pray, God reveal. He will see the cause of your problem. It's an evil spirit, and the evil spirit is called cheating. You have a spirit of cheating. Say the cause of your problem is the spirit of cheating. The spirit of cheating has put his hand upon your business, and you yourself know, say, you'll be crook. You're not in logic. But for him to say, it's your neighbor in the market that doesn't want you to sell. The person is a lying prophet. The person is what? A lying prophet. And if you're not a Christian, what are you doing with the prophet? And if indeed you are a Christian, leave that house of the lying prophet. That's why it's so important. Paul said, we are begging you, be reconciled to God. That is how you deliver yourself from all these kind of destructions. Look, I have come to understand, even from personal experience. Listen, let me tell you the truth. If you don't like me, it's your problem. Number one. Number two, if you actively dislike me, you know, there's a difference between I don't like somebody, I don't care about him. I mean, I see thousands of people every day. If you say, what do you think of that guy? I have no opinion of him. If he's wearing a nice shirt, I'll tell you the shirt is fine. If he's wearing a bad shirt, none of my business. But if you actively dislike me, you look at me, that guy, I hope that one day something you'll get into trouble. Listen to me, you will get into 25,000 troubles before I step into one. Because God contends with those that contend with me. I don't pray about you. I don't have, that is, hi God. Let me, if anybody wants to commit suicide, Tell him that you want to die. Why waste money on medicine? Let me show you how to die early. See, there's this guy. His name is Banky. They call him Pastor Banky. Let me tell you something about him. He's planning to go forward in life. Go and stand as an obstruction on his path. You will die fast. Why waste money on medicine? Listen, I always say that I didn't send myself to Enugu. Somebody sent me. Do you follow what I'm saying? And that's how God deals with his children. He said the glory of God will be their rear guard. Watches them from the back. You cross here, you will see what I will do to you. Listen, if you're a child of God, they say your market is not selling. Because there is a neighbor that doesn't like you. Tell the prophet he's a stupid man. Tell him, Mr. Prophet, I thought you had sense. You're a very foolish person. That you're a very, very foolish person. That you're a very foolish person. You will have known that no neighbor can stand as an obstruction to my progress. None. In fact, I don't know how I got here. I hereby repent. No, listen. That is why you have been servicing the prophet with your offerings. Have you not? Those who I'm talking to out there, they know themselves. You think he will ever let you go? He can't. Who's going to pay his bills? It's only people in bondage like you. And let me tell you something about the devil, where he differs from God when it comes to delivering people. God always puts one simple condition. Repent and be saved. I don't know whether you get my point. Yes, you repent and be saved. And listen, let's talk about this guy called devil for a while. The devil doesn't have the kind of power we think he has. What he does is to try and tempt people. For example, the spirit, let me give you a very good example. I said that evil spirits bear names, do you understand, of the activities that they perform. So you hear this spirit of lust, the spirit of lying, or the spirit of a disease. Now, I want you to understand something. The Bible tells us that we should not give room to the devil. Now, hear what I'm saying, that we shouldn't give him room. What it means is that don't give him space. Please, hear this. Jesus told a parable once, not really a parable, he explained something. He said that when you cast out an evil spirit, and then he goes away, he goes through many dry places. Then one day he returns and finds a house from which he was thrown away, which is somebody's life, empty, garnished, set in order. You know what he said he does? He goes back and finds what? Seven more wicked spirits than himself. And then they come and tabernacle inside that man's life, and his former state will be small compared to the latter state. That the latter state will be worse than what he used to be. You know what that means? Let me tell you simply. You know, I said something to you the other time. I said that, you know why that I'm a preacher? I preach on the average, this is maybe like between three and four times a week, all right? And I said, December, I don't preach at all. Remember what I said? I said, because I don't want to smoke. Those of you who are around, you know what I'm saying? That once the session of Peter has played for about 360, actually I think more than 360 days in 1 year, playing Ijo Shino, you know, and you know the one made me laugh those days. Even those who couldn't understand what he was saying, they were all dancing to Ijo Shino everywhere. Everyone was singing Yoruba for goodness sake. And again, they were dancing all over the country and beyond. All right? I said, if you want to be playing 360-something days in a year, at all night, if you want to remain, you know, energetic, you will smoke. You will smoke. I don't mean cigarette. Oh, cigarette doesn't give you energy. I mean, you know, wee-wee. You know what I mean? You will smoke. You will smoke cocoa. You will use heroin. You know what opens the door for the spirit of cocaine, the spirit of wee-wee, the spirit of heroin, because they are spirits. Believe me, there are spirits that are controlled to such actions. You know what opens the door for them? Let me tell you. The spirit that is anti-Sabbath. Now, this is principle of Sabbath. The book I told you I was writing, the book is titled How to Work for God. The last chapter is called The Work of Rest. You must be ready to rest and know that it's God that's blessing you. If you think that, no, it's by my power that I have gotten these things for myself, you will have the spirit of smoking. You know what I'm saying? Yes. What am I saying? The first thing is that you give in to a small spirit. Then he opens the door for a bigger one. That's the way they work. Let me tell you more stories. See. Let me give a very good example. Spirit of adultery. It doesn't jump on good men overnight. It can't. Not as if it doesn't want to. He wishes he could, but he doesn't. Because he can't. You know what he does? He starts small. He first sends a small spirit. If I say this, it make you laugh. The kind of spirit that makes a man not go home early to go and meet his wife and children. The kind of spirits that make a man enjoy the company of men. Now, when I say this, it sounds funny. But the fact is, this is how it works. You think that it's just a habit. No, there are evil spirits that tabernacle certain habits. I'm telling you the truth. The man won't understand that when he says go home, doesn't want to go home. It's called temptation. Satan is whispering in his ears. Where are you going? The boys are still outside now. Then, did they drink? No, I don't drink. But then he starts sharing communion. You know, I told you about communion. You see, these are spiritual principles. Communion. You know, the same table. They put bread and what? Wine. And they break the suya. Take this. This is my body that is going to wreck your family. Eat it. They start sharing the bottle. He doesn't drink. He starts with malt. It's not the content. It's the spirit. So as they are pouring it, his own is malt into the bottle. The other guy is pouring beer. Then when they start laughing at him, swagbe. It's like one old word from Ebenezer. He said, you could just get jedi. They drink coke. Drink real stuff. Sazembra. They pour it for him. And it begins to go down. Then the spirit of drinking jumps in. That's the way it starts. It tempts you first. You have to open the door. You don't open the door, they can't go anywhere. Then when the spirits are settled, and then, you know, the ministers of the devil, I've told most people, you see, the witch you're afraid of is the smallest of your problems. The people who are really serving Satan, they are nice guys. They wear suit morning till night. They don't go to any shrine. No. The only shrine they know is Bar. Listen, oh God, I wish God would open your eyes. These things are spiritual. I used to talk about Fela those days. I say boldly, that guy was a messenger of Satan. People say he smoked it, but I said he was burning incense unto the gods. Go and read the story of the Old Testament. The high priest will put incense, all right? And then in the censer and be shaking it and fill the place with the smoke. Why do you think when you enter into nightclubs, it's filled with the smell of cigarettes and the smoke thereof? They are creating the ambience in which the evil spirit thrives. A good man enters and suddenly becomes an adulterer. He didn't go there committing adultery. Oh, he went there escorting his friend because of business deal. You know, if you don't follow these men, they won't sign the contract. Would you rather lose your family because of small money? Are you out of your mind? If you won't sign the contract during the day, to hell with you. Are you mad? Do I look like a servant of Satan to you? You want to sign the contract and follow to a club first? Okay, you work in a bank, they say target. Okay, I see you in the office. We don't discuss after that. Want to give me 100 million naira? Sign it in your office. Okay, we can discuss over dinner. Sharing what with who? Listen, I'm going home. I live with my father. I eat dinner with my father. And if I'm married, sorry, dinner as the rule is with my husband. If he's not in town, I put his picture in front of the, you know. I'm telling you. They will open the door for devil anyhow. And I'll be blaming on Satan. Satan is a tempter. That's all he does. He's a what? He's a tempter. You know what the Bible says when the prophet was talking? He said, you see, let me tell you the truth. If I say this, it will make you laugh. I don't know whether it's a story for young men, but let me just say it. You have young men, old men. If you see women dressed like Ashewo for road, the waka, and you notice, don't feel bad. That maybe my heart is not pure. Oh, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. You know what? They are calling you. Is it a sin to hear a call? It's not a sin to hear a call. The sin is when you answer it. That's why the Bible says that when you see the adulteress, don't desire her beauty. That is, don't let her stir up desire you. What am I saying? Why has I brought up the story? It's what the devil does. Tempts. It's called temptation. It can't do more than that. The men are hanging out at night. I come back at 12 midnight. Don't want to understand what they enjoy. None of my business. I don't know whether you're following my point. A lot of time when I go out, maybe I'm talking to people, I say, I'm not used to eating out. I have to go home. I usually eat when I'm at home. He said, ah, it's very nice, oh. Yes, oh, brethren, it is nice. Eat at home. I'm not saying eating buying food outside is a sin. But hanging out, see, people, please get what I'm saying in context. To gather with friends is not a bad thing. But the Bible says that evil communication corrupts what? Good manners. You want to hang out with people? Watch who you are hanging out with and where. There was one man, one lady some time ago, she's a friend's wife. And then she was complaining one day about the fact that her husband has these new friends that he just spent a lot of time with. And I don't know whether it was me or my wife that said, ah, you had better be happy. Who's the friend he's spending time with? Banky. Who's the friend he's spending time with? Chooks. Men that you know their wives, you know where they go. You know what they do. The only thing they can teach your husband is good character. Unless you're a bad person yourself. And you don't like the goodness they are bringing into his life. Please, I hope what I'm saying, I hope you guys are following. I hope you're following it. So what Satan does, he tempts people. Believe me, that's all he can do. So that spirit of, you know, debauchery, they start drinking, enjoying themselves, and leaving wife and children at home. They start neglecting their responsibility. That is where Satan will now say, very fine. You know, this was not where we were going. All the devil said, yes, yes, yes. This is not where we're going. This is just your door opener. All this one we have known, we can't ruin his life. Can we ruin his life? All the sisters say, no, we can't ruin his life. So what are we going to use to ruin his life? We have to get control of him. Through what? Through adultery. Very fine. Clap for yourselves, children. All they have been doing is all the small, small demons are hanging around him. Then the wicked spirit now appears. Say, what shall we do? Inhabit one young girl and follow them to the bar. If he doesn't run at that point, he's gone. Are you getting my point? He's a goner. Because I said before, listen, all this one of is your neighbor. It's not your neighbor. The man who's been told it is his neighbor, asking where he goes at night. Last time he traveled abroad for a course, that he told his wife is a special course, she couldn't go with him. Who went with him? They met at the airport in Lagos. Is Enugu, his wife saw him off in Enugu airport. Bye bye, darling. Bring us something from America. He said, all right, she's landing in Lagos. Chiquito was waiting. Chief, have you arrived? Two of them bought the KLM. They've gone. The oath is going to one prophet that's telling him it is his neighbor. It is not the work of his hands, though. It is his neighbor. Let me say it to you again. Those who really work for Satan don't even know they are working for him. That girl was commissioned to ruin his life, ruin his destiny. Satan only tempts. He only tempts. That's all he can do. And when men fall for the temptation, he now sinks the hook into their hearts. That's what we're talking about, the wiles. You know, you resist. He brings it, you resist. He brings it, you do what? You resist. The fact is that he doesn't have any, all these powers that he comes with. It's all these jobless prophets who want to eat your money that keep blaming people. They never blame you. I said the difference between the devil and Satan is that God will tell you, oh boy, come here. Now your life has been ruined. Say, yes, sir. Repent and be baptized. Where do I put my head? Here. They dip you in water. You repent. Of lying, you repent. Of cheating, you repent. Of defrauding your business partners, you repent. And forget all your neighbors in the market who don't want you to sell. My wife was telling me something. She went to the market to go and buy something. That was yesterday. And she was buying stuff from this guy. Somebody will walk up and ask for his money. And the fellow will say, I don't have money. Come tomorrow. He said about three or four people, he said, showed up in this guy's shop. My wife was buying plenty of stuff from him. He's a big, you know, dealer. So after they left, you know, that's how your light shines. My wife asked him simply, who are these people that have been coming? And you have been saying you don't have money. Let me summarize the story for you. There are people that supply him goods, which he's selling to people like my wife. And they pay him. I mean, it's market. And he doesn't pay them. That is, the people who buy from him pay. He doesn't have money to pay those who supplied him. So my wife told him simply, I have come to buy from you now. How will you like it if I left here, carried all your goods away and said, I will pay you when I can? You phone me and say, I don't have money yet. Meanwhile, those I'm selling to, they are paying, I'm pocketing the money. You are laying foundation. Why won't the house collapse? When it collapses, say, I've always known that they don't want me to make progress. Then you go to the prophet. Prophet say, hey, it's his vision. Listen, he's one of those cooperating to ruin you totally. Because it doesn't tell you the truth. It doesn't tell you, oh boy, you know what happened? As you were laying each block in foundation, the people who you kept their money, all right? Their souls were crying out to God, and God was removing strength from your foundation. No enemy crumbled your house. It was your wickedness inside the nature market that crumbled your house. No. Because you see, let me tell you something. Why people don't like to follow God? God demands too much repentance. God is always demanding repentance. Even from Job, he still wanted more repentance. God is always demanding repentance. A righteous man will appear before God. God says, repent of that evil work. What is it? God will show it to him. The man repents. He keeps on getting better. God is fashioning the image of Christ into his soul so that he might bless him totally. 25 years, but finally Isaac came. And today we are talking about Isaac. You are getting what I'm saying? But no, not Satan. The next thing, as far as that is concerned, it's not your problem. And that's why men like him. The prophet that's always blaming everybody but you has lied to you. He's a liar. He knows. Listen to me. He knows. Oh, you think he doesn't know? He knows this is business. It is business. So that's why he does. You know the way it is with students. They failed me. You know, the students always failed. Somebody failed them. Good enough, I'm a lecturer. I always tell the students, nobody. Listen, I have taught now for almost 10 years. And I can tell you, I have not yet seen. There are days I have seen students, I wish I could fail them. I want to fail them. I hate the guy so much, I really wish I could fail him, but I can't. Most students, nobody fails them. You know what happens? They don't know anything. I have seen ignoramuses. That is, the guy is so ignorant that his ignorance is even bad in that he does not know that he's ignorant. So he goes around feeling tough. I've seen people tell me that, even that lecturer, I'm the one that corrects him. And you talk to the guy, he's so empty. He's so empty that they can use him to teach vacuum in physics. He's so empty. I've seen it before. And in that exam, I gave a good showing of myself. I have one guy in mind. When I told my chief, I was applying for postgraduate. So I told my chief, chief, that's my guy. Yo. So that guy that doesn't know anything. Like, chief, are we talking about the same person? She gave me his script. Look at it now. Oh boy. Vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. Emptiness and like chasing after the wind. That was what his paper was. Emptiness. Nothing inside. Yeah, this guy came out of exam. I was saying, yes, thank God. I gave a good showing of myself in the exam. I look at the guy was so dumb that he couldn't, obviously he didn't understand the question. It's human character. Everything goes wrong. They're looking for who to blame. So when you oblige people, they will give you good offerings. Listen, if I want to buy 6 cars before the end of the year, all right, let 3 of us can arrange it. We'll sit down here and start praying for people. You have a grandmother, don't you? Who doesn't have a grandmother? I hope you guys are following what I'm saying. I hope you are following the point I'm making. Listen, that's the problem with people. They don't want to take the responsibility. It's my responsibility. It's somebody else. And when you oblige them, you become rich. But listen to me, if you're a prophet like that, when their judgment will come, it will start in your own house. Between you and the men you deceive, all of you are in trouble. But I'm preaching to people who are serious. Are you getting my point? And I'm explaining to them, listen to me, nobody is your problem. If you don't open the door for the devil in your life, he can't do anything to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, the Bible says concerning the child of God, the Christian, he said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan has schemes. One of the schemes he uses is this deception. Telling people that they are not, there's no problem with them. It is their neighbor. Listen to me. Your neighbor didn't kill your child, did not ruin your business, did not scatter your family. As for you men, listen now, the most of the things that scatters men's families, I will tell you, is adultery. You go and be sleeping with a witch, you don't know, that's the real witch. Not the witches, why should they be in the village? You go out with them every evening. I'm telling you the truth, I know what I'm saying. They grip a man's soul. Satan, that's what he uses. He just hooks, he puts his hook there. When he wants to jump, he talks like this. You know, you become a puppet of the devil. What string is he using? I've said it again, let me say it. To men who are having such troubles, especially if it's your business, go home and confess to your wife. If she forgives you, you are lucky. If she doesn't, you're in trouble. I'm telling you, you will pray and pray. In fact, your prayer should not be, God, though, help me this bed. God, help her to forgive. I hope what I'm saying is making sense. You have introduced problems to your family because you are following. You know, let me tell you the truth. Oh God, I'm finding it hard to sit on what I wanted to say, but I hope you are getting blessed. I hope you are learning something. Let me tell you something. If you're a young woman and you see a married woman, all right, who, let's assume she's separated, something like that, or divorced, and she's giving you counsel concerning marriage, don't mind this man. Once she starts like that, please go away. Go somewhere else. Find newer friends. Are you getting my point? Are you getting what I'm saying? If you want a happy marriage, don't make friends with those who don't regard marriage highly. That's what I'm explaining. I've seen things like that. There was a time I banned my wife. I'm a young woman, though, but her attitude was her husband. I told my wife, your friendship has ended. I will never see your feet in that house again. And there are women who are listening to me right now. They say that, how can you all die an adult like that? She married me. That's why I can. And I'm a savior, in quote. As Christ is the savior of the church, all right? So God said, look, better watch out for your wife. I looked, I said, this association will not beget good. It won't. Yeah, bad behavior. That's why it's just hanging out. Look, listen. Satan is a schemer. He's lying people who don't have understanding. I think he's a powerful person. He's a schemer. You have friends. Anytime they are talking, women are useless. Women are useless. You are in trouble if you still hang around those people. You will never find a good wife. How they be singing in your ears every day? Women are useless. Women are useless. Do you know that there are good women out there and there are bad women? The one you want is the one you will get. And when I say want, it's not the one you just decide to want. You are a bad boy. You are a useless person. Your character is bad. Your morals is zero. Then you want a good wife. You think God is an idiot, yeah? You will change the rules concerning your own sake, concerning your own life. What a man sows, he doesn't reap anymore. Man sows one thing and reaps what he desires. Please, I hope you are getting my point. We need to say this thing properly. So people stop fighting the fight that God didn't say they should fight. We are talking about the good fight of faith. The fight of the Christian is a fight of faith. How to hold on to his faith. Jesus said that, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith upon the earth? How to hold on to your faith? That is the fight you are supposed to be fighting. How to see all your friends buy brand new cars and build houses, and you haven't done that yet, but your life is counting in the thing that God placed into your hand. I said it to you several times before. Don't think it is not discouraging. It can be discouraging. You get all, you profess faith, you do things. At the end of the day, everybody seems to be making progress. You are not. Listen to me, oh. Listen, it's discouraging. You know your fight? To hold your faith in the midst of that discouragement. That is the fight. That is the fight. You're fighting your neighbors and fighting your enemies. Only a jobless man focuses on his enemies. The Bible says clearly, your fight, your wrestle is not against people, human beings. It is against the devil. It is against his agents. And they said they have schemes. And we'll go on and see details about the schemes. I've mentioned a bit about it. Especially on how to resist the schemes. Listen, Satan has not changed. For centuries, for millennia, he hasn't changed. He sees only three things. The loss of the eyes, the loss of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know, they pass like that. Turn these stones to bread. Jump down, let everybody shout, Babake. Bow and worship me, I give you everything. You know, it doesn't, look, listen. It's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It has not changed. It can't change. Your fight is to resist those things. Please. I said, look, Job is my main assignment. To use to introduce my subject. So please, let's quickly go to the book of Job. I'm happy we'll introduce this subject, and next time, we'll continue it. The book of Job, chapter 1. I want you to see the scenario in the realm of the spirit. This is how this thing works. Let's look at his characteristics. This man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. And he has 7 sons, 3 daughters. Then in verse 3, he describes his possessions. And the summary of it, he said, that man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And in verse 4, it says, and his sons used to go up and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, like something like his birthday or something. And they would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. Now, please, that's the way the life was. Righteous man, rich man, feasting children. In verse 5, it says, and it came about when the days of feasting had completed their cycle, that Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. What's the reason? For Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. The Bible says, thus Job did continually. Now, please bear that thing in mind. We'll analyze it maybe next time, if time won't allow us today. In verse 6, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Notice verse 9. Satan looked and said, does Job fear God for nothing? This was what God did for Job. The problem was that Satan misinterpreted which one came first and the purpose or the reason for which Job was doing what he was doing. He said, hast thou not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his possessions have increased in the land. And then he said, now put forth thy hand and touch all that he has and he will surely curse thee to thy face. I'll stop in verse 12 for today. Then the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. That's why I'm going to stop reading today. Now, what's the story here? What I want to bring out is a life of the blameless and upright man, as far as the devil is concerned. This is the interesting part. You know, I've said it to you several times. The Old Testament saints, even the New Testament saints recording the scriptures, were not as aware of the devil as we are today. We have magnified him so much that he has even become a joke. What I mean has become a joke. You've heard the people that say that even Satan now cries. So one day they said Satan was sitting in front of a church and he was crying. This is a joke, but it tells us the kind of thing we have done. And he was crying. They said, why are you crying, oh Satan? And he kept on crying. Satan talked, now why are you crying? He said, the line is too much. He said, these people in this church, everything that goes wrong with them, it is me. Anything they do wrong, it is me. If something doesn't work well, it is me. Even when I don't know about it, it is still me. He said, this line is too much. It has to stop. Your door doesn't open on time. Satan, I rebuke you. You cook rice, it burns. Oh, Deborah, in Jesus' name, you will not come here again. You cooked rice and it burned because you were watching Man U versus Arsenal. Arsenal was playing Man U. While your rice was roasting, you got the spirit of burning rice. That is, we have so magnified this devil. When the Bible says magnify the Lord, you know what we have done? We have magnified the devil. Like Kenneth Hagin told the story in one of his books, a woman was testifying. And then Satan came. And Satan did all of this. Bless his holy name. And Satan did this. And bless his holy name. Ah, wait, madam. Bless whose holy name now? Because she was saying so much about the devil. And Christian, she would chip in, bless his holy name, which is supposed to be for the Lord. But the whole thing just got tangled up. Listen, child of God. God has a very good arrangement to handle the devil for you. The Bible says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so doth the Lord surround his people. When Satan went before God and was speaking that thing, it wasn't theory, it was experience. When they go raiding, when they go ruining lives, because indeed Satan likes that. He likes to destroy. The Bible says he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So when he goes around trying to destroy that which belongs to Job, he discovers, they say, no trespassing. And the realm of the spirit, you don't trespass when they say no trespassing. Nobody does. It doesn't happen. Satan doesn't disobey. No, I'm telling you, there's no trespassing. He knows the consequences are so dire. Nobody, in fact, you don't even have the ability to disobey. You will understand it. There are spiritual realms. Authority is not like the one we have on the earth. It is extremely powerful. A word is issued. Nobody has the ability to disobey that word. It just goes on having effect. When God says, no trespassing. Satan knows there's no trespassing. When it comes to afflicting Job, God doesn't give him go ahead. He can't do anything. That was then. It's even worse now. This Job continually pouring forth sacrifices. As we go on, we'll talk about how to pour forth the sacrifices over your life continually. Because indeed the blood of Jesus has been shed. But there's a way, listen, there's a way the believer applies that blood. It's not by shouting, the blood of Jesus. Well, praise the Lord for those who like to shout it. It doesn't have too much effect. That's shouting. There's a principle that applies the blood. Tied to confession, acknowledging your iniquity. Any Christian who cannot realize, who doesn't realize when he's wrong, or goes out every day trying to improve his life, won't go far in life. Are you getting my point? Listen, there's no power that the believer has as to constantly repent and forsake, because you're not perfect as at now. And I'm trying to, you can ask my wife, I say, I know there are things I'm not doing right. I'm just praying that God will open my eyes to see them. I'm telling you the truth. In relating with my ministry, as in doing my ministry, relating with my wife, relating with my children, relating with people, there are things I'm not doing correctly. In fact, I told my wife yesterday, because I told her I went to Saba. The ghost law at the head bridge yesterday was bad. At the point in time, my wife got tired the way I was driving. He won't enter. Watch it. You know, nothing in Lagos I come from. There was one guy beside me. This is just between us, all right? I think he had a very powerful car. And he wanted to show me that he didn't have power. I said, all right, let us see. I will show that I know how to drive, and my engine too is big. Once the truck in front, bam, 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 we hit the brake. Bam, after a while, I just saw in front, there's a car parked on the right. I said, this guy, I don't juice. I don't lose. Just watch. We'll maintain this straight. Man, I wasn't trying to push him. He pushed me. I was just going straight. I said, I won't give them 1 inch. Finally, we reached where that car was parked. He had to slow down. I said, me, I'm a Lagos boy. I know how to do this driving. Relax. Relax. The guy had to brake and enter from the back. I said, go on, son. All right, let's go on. Next case, you know what I'm going to say. It was almost like fun in court. I mean, I was going somewhere, actually. I was there for the program. We're there for over an hour in the hold up, you know. I told my wife along the line, I said, listen, this is not a good life. I said, you should go to America or go to Europe and see what they do when traffic is bad. It's called prefer one another in love. I don't know whether you understand the point. Prefer, that is, the attitude of the Nigerian, all right, is the other driver is my adversary. I have to beat him. The attitude of the American, which has been trained into his mind, his laws are like that. Most Nigerians don't know how to use the stop sign. You know that? You see, when they say stop, they are wondering, why should I stop? For what now? Who is there saying the stop? We don't know how to use it. Stop sign just means when you get to that point, your car must come to a halt while you look out to the left and the right before you go. And peradventure, you see a car there, any of the junctions before you, you wait for him to go first. That's all it means. Oh God, Nigerian driver. As you see you start, you come from the side. Boom, 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 pass the two of them. Boom, you go. Everybody's his adversary. There was, if you know traffic rules, all right? When you see, you know the red light in traffic lights, all right? When it's flashing, it's a stop sign. That is, get there, slow down, look, and keep going. If the yellow one is flashing, it's a caution sign. Watch out, a big truck may be passing, fire truck may pass, you know, that kind of thing. Then one day, I got to a major junction. This junction had like 5 roads feeding it. Houston is the 4th largest city in America. And the traffic lights were bad that day. All of them were flashing stop sign. I said, very good. Let me see what these people will do. To my amazement, each person will get there, stop, wait for a while. After a while, he will take off and drive off. That is, no traffic warning. It was night. There was no traffic jam. I said, Niger, yeah. Nobody's going home today. Even though sitting in my country, nobody's going home today. As one guy stopped, one bus driver will just go, as is the goal that he hit in one in front, bus driver, two of them come down and say, boy, come. They blind and swear for you. When they worry yourself, they pam 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 pam. They pray for Mopo or Soja. Because except Mopo or Soja shows up, nobody's going home that day. Anyway, this is the point I'm making. I told my wife, I said, I think I have the Nigerian attitude. That's why I'm just saying all of this. I said, my attitude is still Nigerian. So when we're driving back today, I said, I think I have to repent. The other driver is not my adversary. He just wants to go somewhere too. Listen, it's not easy to want to be righteous in the midst of all those that confusion. That's the fight of faith. I'm going to explain something that's the life of a believer. What I'm saying is that every day God keeps exposing something to you and you have to keep getting better. Are you getting my point? Listen to me. The devil doesn't have power over you. Jesus died to remove the power he ever had. We'll discuss the mechanism of that. Jesus shed his blood. It wasn't a joke. It was to remove the power that Satan ever had. The Bible says that for this cause was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He said he became a partaker in flesh and blood. Why? That he might liberate those who through the fear of death have been held in bondage all their lives. Are you getting my point? Please, Easter is coming. Go to your village. Nobody can do you nothing. I hope you've got to my point. Today we are beginning to talk about what? The Christian warfare. The Lord is good. Let us pray.